Yeah, the last, oh my word, it's taking my ears off. The last two sermons have been on hope. I hope you've listened to them if you weren't here on the website. And yeah, we're carrying on a third one today on hope. So if you haven't got the message by the end of today that we've got hope, then I don't know what you've been listening to or what you've been receiving. But anyway, hope, yeah. You know, hope, it's a confidence and assurance. It's not just some airy-fairy thing, yeah. It's a hope. I'm certain of the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. We've just been singing there. I'm certain of it, yeah. As certain as I'm here and standing here now. It's not some wishy-washy thing. I know. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says this, I know in whom I have believed. There's a lot of things we don't know. But as Christians, we know in whom we have believed. There's an old hymn which says this, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And another one which says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you're not standing on Christ today, if Christ is not in your life, you're on sinking sand. And I've been on a few sinking sand. I remember leading a family. We'll go this way across this beach. I don't know where it was. I think it was North Wales somewhere. And in the end, we started getting down into our knees in sinking sand. Oh, there were signs. I ignored the signs. Anyway. It could have been a disaster. We could have had to have the lifeboat out, although the lifeboat couldn't have got there. We could have had the helicopter out. I don't know what it would have been. Yeah. But that is what your life, if you haven't got your life centered on Christ, if you haven't got the hope of Christ in your life, then you're on sinking sand. You are, and I wouldn't want to be on sinking sand. It's not a very pleasant experience because you're not really sure what the next step is going to take you in. What does tomorrow hold for you without Christ? Isn't it great that we've got Christ in our lives? That I'm sure of tomorrow, yeah. Bright hope for tomorrow is another hymn, isn't it? Bright hope for tomorrow. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but I've just said it anyway. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Let's turn to your Bibles in Daniel chapter 3. It's a well-known story, which we should know this story, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or shake the bed, make the bed, and into bed you go. If you can't remember those names, that was what we used to say in kids' church years ago. And it's a great story, Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 13. We're not going to read the whole thing, or we'll have a long sermon. And we've had one or two of those in recent weeks. Those people know who they are. Anyway, we're picking it up at verse 13. And basically, just to set the scene, Nebuchadnezzar the king had made this golden statue. And he'd said to everybody, look, when the band starts playing, everybody has got to bow down and worship this statue. You've got to do it. There's no choice. If you don't do it, you're in trouble. So what happened was the band started to play and three people decided we're not going to bow down to that. And this is where we pick it up in verse 13. In verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, then that's good, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. That's hope, isn't it? That's hope in God. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He must have been steam coming out of him by now with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of his strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Check that out when you go home. There's lots of interpretations what that was. Was it Jesus? Was it an angel? Who knows? I'm going to say it was the Lord himself. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out and come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded round them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Wow, fancy being there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were chosen people. They were chosen by Nebuchadnezzar and his authorities to be leaders in the town. They'd been brought out of bondage. We're not really sure where Daniel was at this point, but I bet your life, Daniel, if he'd have been there, he'd have been with them as well. There'd have been 5 in the fire, not 4. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego knew who their God was. And we sing that song, "There's another in the fire standing next to me. And there's another in the fire standing next to you today." We've heard that there before. God is our Redeemer. He is with us. Whatever circumstance or situation that you're facing or will ever face, there's another in the fire standing next to you. We've heard Emma's testimony. Loads of us could get up and give testimonies of where we've been down the years or where we are. And for some of us, we're in difficult situations now. But God is with us. There's another one standing next to us. He's with us. "I will never leave you nor forsake us." Deuteronomy 31 verse 5. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified." I bet those guys were afraid and terrified. They were human beings. They weren't being blasé, but they knew who their God was. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." I will never leave you nor forsake you. Get that in your head when things start to go wrong or something doesn't happen the way you thought it would happen. God, where are you now? And we've prayed those prayers, some of us. Where are you, God, in that pain? Where are you, God? He's there. We just don't know his mind. We just don't know what he's working out, but we know he's with us in that place. Jesus is our constant companion. Mike quoted a verse last week, Romans 15:13. I'm just going to read it now in the Amplified Version. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith." I like that line. Through the experience of your faith, that's how we find out who God is. "And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promise." Have confidence in God.
If you're feeling a bit low, let me just boost your confidence. Not by, some sort of a training scheme or some sort of, let's all shout this out, which we do, and that's fine. But build your confidence in God. Build your confidence in God. If you've come in here today and you're not confident in God, don't leave this place without confidence in God. He wants you to be in confidence of God. He wants you to live in who you are, in Him. The J.B. Phillips version of the Bible, it was my mum's favourite version of the Bible, and she always read it, and it says this: may the God of hope fill you, it's the same verse, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Yes. Wow. Is your outlook and life radiant with hope? What's your outlook? Oh, dear me, I've got to face that this week. I don't know what on earth is going to happen in 3 months' time. What are you going to do? The Bible says take one day at a time. Take no thought for tomorrow. That'll take care of itself. But in your outlook, and we've got to be sensible, we've got to plan. That doesn't mean we can just be blasé. But what it means is a God at the centre of our plans, God at the centre of us, right? Then our outlook with faith in God has got to be radiant. It's got to be hopeful. Are you living in hope and confidence? Am I living in hope and confidence? Because it should be, because we have it in Christ. It's in Him. Yes. Is this hope and confidence affecting the way we live? What are we doing with this hope and confidence we have? Is it spilling out to others? That's what that verse is on about. It's that confidence and hope, we don't retain it, but we spill it out to others. What sort of impression are we giving in work? What sort of impression are we giving in society? Is it doom and gloom? No, I've got a hope in God. Yes, it's difficult in society. Look at the news and it's depressing. It's sad, but our hope is in God. And it's hard for people to recognize that. They don't understand. But that doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change our hope. It doesn't change our confidence. Our mission statement is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And there's 6 or 7 or 8 different things there which we know are important. One is intimacy with God in prayer, delighting in the Bible, openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Worship is integral to what we do. Celebrating creativity. And this number 6 one, be bold in demonstrating the good news of God's love with the world. Be bold in demonstrating God's love, God's good news to the world. Be honouring and generous in our relationships. Pursue wholeness at all times. Are we demonstrating the good news of God with the world? Certainly needs it. It needs us to demonstrate it because nobody else is going to do it. Only you can do it in the community that you're in. Only you can do it with your work colleagues, with your neighbours and your friends. And this isn't easy. It's not easy to stick your neck out, is it? It's not easy to stick your neck out and say, oh yeah, could I pray for you? Because you don't know what's going to come back at you. Probably the worst thing that can come back is a bit of verbals. Yeah, no one's going to deck you. I had an opportunity only last week to do that with a guy who I've known quite a while. And he was really struggling with his health. And I just said, could I pray with you? And he said, oh yeah, that'd be great. And that's when you get an answer like that, whoa. The world's your oyster. Just go for it. And you don't have to be fancy or do fancy words or anything like that. You just say, yeah, just pray in a simple way. And wow, you can do it. Let me encourage you to be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. There's a heck of a lot of hurting people out there. A lot of lost people. People with no hope. When we say we've got hope, it's just, wow, so blessed. There's people with no hope. People are grasping at straws. I hate standing in the queue at Morrison's when you're standing at the till and people are getting, I'll have a double one. Put me down for another one. The same numbers as last week. Put me down for another one. Oh, I'll have 3 this week. I'll have a lucky dip. I remember saying in work when they started a lottery, I didn't join it. I said, I tell you what, why don't you just give all your money to me and I'll just keep hold of it. I said, because, it'll still be there. You're never ever going to win. Oh, Christ, you know, we've got to kick these numbers. We've got to stick these. And once you get into that trap, you can't get out of it. If you're giving you whatever it is, and it's not like just 50p a week now. I've seen people spending 25 quid in Morrison's on cards. Probably haven't got the money to do it. But that's the sort of hopelessness that people are facing. I hope my numbers come up. Hey, what are you talking about? My numbers already come up. I'm already number one. I am. I'm number one in God, and so are you. Did you know that? You're a precious child of his. That's who you are. No more why me, if onlys. We need to reach out with hope, the hope that we have. I'm just going to play a video now, and this is just a challenge really to you. This was a video that we showed at the school pastor training that we do. And it's a 15-year-old girl. It's an actress who's speaking out what this other girl was facing. And it's a 15-year-old girl. And it says, come and find me. And it's just saying where this girl's at. You're going to see some words on here that we don't normally say in church, so don't be too shocked. But I'm not apologizing for that because it's the real world that we're living in. But as you watch this video, I hope this just challenges you as to the hopelessness that our young people are facing, especially girls, but it's boys as well. And it challenges us, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? And then we'll just pray. So could we show that video? Thanks very much. It's about 8 minutes.